Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to ask you to find chapter number 9. And I'm going to preach a very familiar passage to you. And I'm not going to probably tell you anything that you haven't heard or preach anything you haven't heard. But I am going to put you in remembrance of some things because we are a forgetful people. And we need to be reminded often about what our responsibilities as a church and what our responsibility as Christians and as an individual with what we need to be doing for the Lord. Matthew chapter number 9, and I'm going to ask you when you find it, and I'll find it here in a minute. I'm in the New Testament, so I know I'm in the right place. Stand to your feet if you would. I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to clear your mind a little bit. A lot of things can be going through our minds. We're a busy people. Our minds can race, and there's a lot of distraction. But I want us all to be reminded that what we hold in our hands or what is before us is the Word of God. And what I'm going to preach to you is the Word of God. It's not my opinion. In the big picture of things, my opinion doesn't matter any at all. And neither does yours. But God's Word means it all. We're not going to answer for our opinions or our positions. We're going to answer to what is in this book. Every word. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so this is a holy time. I've enjoyed the singing. And I love good singing. I do. I love singing that exalts Jesus. And I've enjoyed hearing from our missionary family. And I'm glad for young people that are willing. I'm glad for all people that are willing to serve God with their life, aren't you? We need more of it. God's going to speak to your heart today. Because when God's word is spoken, seeds are sown. And God has promised that his word will not return into him void. Now, I don't know what God needs to do in your heart. I have no way of knowing that. I just know that we all need God to do something in our lives. Amen. And so I pray that we would give our undivided attention to what thus saith the Lord this morning. In Matthew chapter number 9, the 9th chapter is rounding out as we have it divided in our scripture. Jesus has been kind of on a tour. He's been visiting through cities, and he's been doing a lot of great things. He's been healing people. He's just finished up in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He's just finished up the sermon, the greatest sermon in my estimation that's ever been preached, what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And now he's going from city to city, and he's kind of doing a circuit, if you would, into these cities. And there are many people that are brought to him. And I think that these people that are brought to him is what's leading up to what we're getting ready to read here in Matthew chapter number 9 and verses 35 through 38. It's people with great needs. There's Jairus, and there's the woman with the issue of blood, and there's the leper, and there's the centurion servant. And there's just so many people with so many needs. And it just reminds us, they're everywhere, brethren. They're everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's people that have needs. And I'm glad Jesus didn't turn not a one of them away. I sit at my desk this week and I read it again and again. Not one of them. He made time for them all. Aren't you glad Jesus made time for you? Amen. In your desperate need, in your time of trouble, Jesus pass by your way. Aren't you glad he did? Can you just see him passing by? The men, the women, the children, the families that were hurting, that were crying out. I think about that man of Gadara just cutting himself and crying all night long. There's people like that in our world today. Some of them may live in your community. And I want us to see what Jesus said to us about it. Now, he went and he met their needs one after the other. We may look at some of it, we may not. But I hope you'll look at it. Jesus went everywhere, touching people's lives, impacting people. And the Bible tells us right here why he done it. Because he had compassion. Let's begin our reading in verse 35. You follow as I read this passage together, and I try to relay to you what God's laid on my heart. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And I'm not going to elaborate on that too much, but I have to say this. I'm glad there's nothing too hard for Jesus. I mean, the emphasis is on the word every. You can't bring anything to God that's too hard. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. I don't know that what there might be somebody here even today that feels like, well, this is too hard for God. No, it's not. No, it's not. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. You can almost hear the sadness in his voice. But the laborers are few. There's so much to be done and there's so few to do it. There's so many to be reached and there's so few that are trying to reach them. And so he said, get to praying, disciples. Get to praying. Pray, ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this time together. Challenge my heart, Lord. God, I pray you would. Challenge us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Lay the burden of the harvest heavy upon us. God, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would hear a greater voice. And that is your voice, and that you would lay upon us the responsibility of the harvest. God, help us to find our place in this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. I just have a few simple thoughts that I want to bring to your attention this morning. And as I said, I'm probably not going to teach you anything. I hope it'll be a reminder to all of us, though. I do. I can't speak for all of us, but I can speak for me. From time to time, I need God to search my heart and to challenge me about the responsibility that I have as a Christian about the debt that I owe to sinners to get them the gospel. And this past couple of weeks, as I've been anticipating missions and missions emphasis and our role, and then more specifically my role in that, God brought me to this passage of Scripture once again. And I just thought of a few things, and I read after some folks, and I kind of just reflected back over my life and how good God's been to me and how God has placed people in the pathway of my life. All along the journey, God has been good to me. God has met my every need. More and enough has He provided. And God has reminded me of the goodness that He's bestowed upon my life. But He's also reminded me of the burden that I bear as a believer to take what He has given me and to take His goodness that He has bestowed upon me and to invest it into the lives of others. As I thought about that, I thought about this passage, and I began to think about what moves people to get involved in missions. What's it going to take to wake the church up? What's it going to take, more specifically, to wake me up, to wake you up? That we would really, really get a hold of the responsibility and the burden that we owe to those without Christ. And I think I found the answer. It was in front of me all the time. So, well, we ought to love people more. Well, we probably could stay in some of that too. Amen? Yeah. Some people are not easy to love. You might be one of them. To you, I might be one of them. But God loves all people. And I want to love people the way God loves people. And I believe you do too. And when you love people, you'll try to reach them with the truth. But it's going to take more than just loving people. You're going to have to love God. Because as you love the Lord, you'll love the things that He loves. And I think we all know that. We all realize that in order to love people the way God loves them, we've got to love God the way that we should love Him. And as we begin to love Him, then we'll begin to love the people that God loves. And God so loved the world. Amen. And it won't be just a certain group or a certain culture or a certain race or a certain location. We'll just love people. And we'll realize that every person has a soul. And every person will stand before a holy God one day. And every person that enters this life is going to leave this life and go to one of two places. And that is either you will be saved and you will find forgiveness in Jesus Christ and you will go to heaven, or you will not be saved and you will not have forgiveness of your sin and you will go to hell. It's not really difficult. Jesus here in verse number 36 says, the scripture says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. That is the secret. Jesus was moved. I want you to notice the progression here. It says in verse number 36, when He saw, he got out. He was where they were. He got to where He could see them. And when He saw them, it moved Him. You've got to get out to where they are, right? We've got to go to where they are. You just can't hang a sign up and say, y'all come. You just can't expect them to walk in the church doors. We've got to go out to where they are. Right? Yes. That's what Jesus did. We've been talking about that in some of our outreach. You just got to go to where folks are. When you go to where people are, you see people as they are. When you see, when we see, when I see, when we see people as they are, it'll move you, brother. There's no way that it will not move you. If you're saved in the grace of God, if you have any ounce of spirituality about you, when you see the sinful condition, when you see the condition that people are in, it'll move you. It moved Jesus. As a matter of fact, it tells us why He had compassion. And there are three things. Did you see it when we read? There are three things that the Bible says that Jesus had compassion, why he had compassion on them. It said because. In other words, Jesus had compassion on them because. You see that in verse number 36? And he listed three things that moved Jesus. As Matthew was recording, the scripture says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because. In other words, here's why. This is what moved him. His eye affected his heart, right? And he just didn't see them. He wanted to do something for them. And that is what he has just got through doing. When you go back and you look in chapter 8 and chapter 9, and really throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he was just constantly going about doing good. He was just going about touching lives. He was just going about trying to get people to understand their condition and his love and how that they can have forgiveness of their sin. That was his mission. The Son of Man have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he was here. That was his purpose. What's yours? Seems like we've just gotten so caught up in our country, and it can happen to all of us, where we just want an abundance of things. I heard a man say one time, and it just challenged me to the core. What are you going to do when we stand before the Lord one day? What have you done with what I gave you? Listen, God's give us a lot, brethren. We say it all the time. God's been really good to this church. Amen. I want to go a little closer and get a little more personal than that. God's been really good to this preacher. God's been good to this man. I'm telling you, I have been super abundantly blessed by the God of heaven. And when I stand before God, I do not want to stand before him when he says, now, report. What have you done with what I give you? Well, I got a 2-car garage full of stuff. I can't even put my cars in them because of stuff. I got a boat. I got a trophy. We won the championship. No, really. What have you done with what I gave you? Well, I got a closet full of clothes. I got some property. What have you done? Not for you, for me. What have you done for the kingdom? I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm speaking of me. This was speaking to me. What have you done for my kingdom? You're in my work. I saved you to serve me. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You've been bought with a price. Amen. Yes. And if we're not careful, we will think that life consists of the abundance of the things that we have, even though Jesus clearly said that is not what life is. And so because Jesus, and he said it even in this chapter, I don't know that I could turn right to it, but I can. In chapter number 8, I just did. It's amazing how that works. In chapter number 8, in verse number 20, Jesus said this, the foxes, look in Matthew 8, verse number 20. Now, this is not in my notes. Notes don't really dictate a whole lot to me. You say, well, we can tell after all these years. Well, you know, I'm for notes now. I am. But notes don't dictate a whole lot to me. God is stirring in my heart, all right? And it didn't just begin this morning. Foxes, look at chapter 8 of Matthew, verse 20. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's talking about being a disciple, brethren. Not saved, a disciple. There's a difference. Saved, that's his cross. A disciple is your cross, my cross. And so when we get over to chapter number 9, after Jesus has touched all of these people's lives, then he goes and he teaches them and he preaches to them and he heals, in verse number 35, every sickness and every disease. And then it comes to where we start seeing the compassion of Jesus. And that's what's kind of zeroed in on. And it says that when he saw them, he was moved. That means that it was time for him to put action with what he saw. He was moved to action. He was moved to do something about what he saw. In other words, he felt their pain. Dr. Ron Comfort, many years ago, and I've said it from this pulpit many times, gave the greatest definition of compassion I've ever heard. Your pain in my heart. Jesus felt it, brethren. He didn't just see it. He felt it. And I'm telling you, you know you're walking with God. I know I'm walking with God when I begin to feel it. God, I feel what you feel. I not only see what you see, but I feel what you feel for the lost multitudes. And I pray to God he would help me to live there. He was moved with compassion on them. That word moved is, it's a word that he felt it. He felt something. When he saw them, he didn't just kind of give them a once-over, just kind of look over and say, well, you know, that's sad. No, no, it like stopped him in his tracks. It moved him. I mean, he felt it, brethren. And the reason he felt it is because, don't miss this now, look at it. Verse number 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. What an interesting word. He looked at the multitudes and he saw them as weary, worn out, burdened, under the load of sin, separated from God, no pardon, no purpose in life. Just a couple of chapters over, he's going to put out a call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what he saw. Heaviness. Burden. He saw their condition. And their condition was of that of wearisome, worn down, fainting. Isn't that quite a way to describe the lost? Isn't that the condition of a lost man? A lost woman, isn't it, brethren? Sometimes we forget. When we were talking about the goodness of God and the things, Pastor David mentioned peace. Sometimes I think we forget. There were days before Christ that we had no peace in life. Now we have this wonderful peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. There were days before Christ that we were just wandering with no aim, no direction in life. And he did see that in their lives, as we shall see in a moment. And now we have direction. We've been placed on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Brethren, we have a direction in life. We have a purpose. We have an aim in life. Glory to God. This thing being a Christian is great. It's so great we ought to be telling everybody we see. Amen. He was moved with compassion. He saw their condition. Not only did he see their condition, but he saw their confusion. Look at what it says in verse number 36. It says, because they fainted. Now watch this. They were scattered. You know what it is to be scattered. I get that way in my brain sometimes. Amen. It's confusion. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of things running in different directions. Scattered abroad. I challenge you. Look this word up. It's interesting. It's interesting. At the root of this word scattered is a word that applies to sheep, because they were scattered abroad. Not as human beings did he see them, but notice what it said, as sheep having no shepherd. And then when I began to look at this word scattered and I saw this word, I thought, well, now it makes sense. The word scattered, it means that they were cast. You know, if you're a sheep farmer, that is a very familiar word to you, that when a sheep becomes cast, it's a very dangerous place for a sheep to be in. When a sheep becomes cast, that's why in Psalm 42, the psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? When a sheep begins to get full and full of wool and lazy. They can tumble and they can fall over and they can get on their back and they cannot roll back over. And if they are not rescued in a short period of time, they have a window of time. Please don't miss this. Brethren, I'm telling you, mankind has a window of time. A window of time. I am so grateful to God that God saved me before my window shut. But can I tell you, as we seen this morning and as we all know, that the door on many people will close today without Christ. The door, the window will shut on many today and they will not know Christ and they will go out into a Christless eternity. You say, well, what can I do about that? Well, you tell me. What can we do about it, brethren? We all can do something. Now, I'm not saying that we can do it all, but we should do what we can do. And by the grace of God, help me to do what I could do. They were cast. They were cast. They were scattered. They were in danger, is what he was saying. You know, when you read that in verse number 36, it says, they fainted because they fainted. They were weak. They were heavy under a load of care and burden under sin, under the life of sin, under a life without God, separated from God by their sin. And they were scattered abroad. They were cast. They were in a very dangerous predicament. When a sheep gets cast, they will not recover on their own. The shepherd must go and turn that sheep back on his or her feet, or they will die in that condition. And so when Jesus, the good shepherd, when the great shepherd of the sheep looked on the multitudes, he saw them as cast upside down. Isn't that the way life without Christ is? Have we forgotten what it is? Have we forgotten that it's life without Jesus makes no sense? Life without Christ is upside down. Oh, but preacher, I'm enjoying the party life. Listen to me, that's not living, that's dying. I'm enjoying this, I'm enjoying that. Listen, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but one day that season will come to an end. That window will close. Please hear me this morning. It's real, brethren. Somehow we have got to be moved. You know what it is to be moved? You just move them. Sometimes we just need to be shaken. Get up. Right? You go out and you look and you see people and you just see their condition. And if we're not careful, we'll just walk by. What is it to you, all ye that pass by? Jeremiah asked. Is there not a cause? Is there not something to stop us and to move us? Are we just content with us and our circle being saved and okay and we're all going to heaven? Do we not have a concern, a compassion? Sure we do. Sure we do. But there's an enemy that's doing everything he can to fill our calendars and to fill our lives with things at the end of life that really will not matter. And I am not judging you. I'm not judging your hobbies. I'm not judging your lifestyle. I'm laying out some truth that I hope you will consider. As the church, we need to get our priorities straight. And I said we. And I'm not passing judgment on you. I do not know particularly what you're involved in or what you're doing. But I am saying this. If souls is not at the top of our priority list, we need to readjust our priorities. So the scripture says here that he saw them. And when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. Because they fainted. They were under a heavy load. Their condition was bleak. They were confused. They were cast. They were in danger. In danger. Rather, there's folks in imminent danger and don't even realize it. And then the third thing that it says that their crisis. You see it there? They were sheep without a shepherd. Now that is a precarious situation. We all know about sheep. You've heard it a lot of your Christian life. Sheep need a shepherd. They're defenseless. They're directionless. They're just, listen, they're very valuable now. Listen, don't take what I'm saying and think, well, you know, we're just no count. Sheep are very, very valuable. Very valuable. They produce and provide a lot of things that are helpful. The wool, the milk, the meat. There's so many things that cause the sheep to be valuable, but we must understand they need that shepherd, or all that value is going to lose its worth because they're not the smartest animals. Can I tell you, sheep that wander, they're scattered, they wander, they do not have what it takes to come back. That's why the shepherd will leave the 99 and go find the one wandering sheep. He knows he's not coming back on his own. Brethren, people are not going to just turn to God on their own. God left us with that command. You go, right? Come on, church. Go. Go. While Jesus was here, he said, come. But now he's gone, and he's left that commandment to you, to I, to the church. Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye shall receive power. We heard it in the Sunday school hour. We are enabled, brethren. We are empowered. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God will enable us to do this work. You say, preacher, I don't have the right words. I just freeze up. I lose my concentration. I say things and it's kind of out of kilter, and I just feel like I didn't do a good job. This is not about you doing a good job. This is about me. This is about you. This is about us as believers getting the gospel, sowing the seed, and God will take it from there. God will take it from there. And so he was moved with compassion. I wonder if you're moved with compassion. Can I ask you just a question that I want you to ask yourself? When's the last time you, well, let me start with this. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? Again, not guilt-shaming. I'm just asking. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? When's the last time you prayed for someone without Jesus? When's the last time I prayed and said, Lord, here am I. Send me. When's the last time we prayed and said, God, send some people. Send some people to them. You know, I have a hard time. I just do, and I'm going to say this, and I don't say it to be mean-spirited. When a person is not concerned about souls, I'm concerned about that person. If we have no concern for the lost, listen, I didn't have concern for the lost when I was lost, but now I'm saved. And I do have a concern for lost people. Not as I should. God have mercy on me. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. God have mercy on me. But I try to tell people about Jesus, brethren. I try to pray for people. I know you do too. Most of you. I hope all of you. But when we get in a place to where we go a good period of time without sharing the gospel, check up now. Something's not right. When's the last time you shed a tear for a friend, a family member, somebody that's not saved? He that goeth forth weeping, weeping, brethren. This same Jesus looked out over the city and wept. You can weep at some little shallow production of a movie or something that it means so little, and we can't weep over souls. I think our priorities are mixed up. I really do. Say, preacher, you're fussing at us. Well, yeah, probably a little bit. I'm just preaching the word. Jesus had compassion. He saw it. He felt it. And he done something about it. So So I'll be glad when all this is over so we can go into the house. You're the problem. You've got a problem. And if for no other reason, maybe God sent me here to tell you that. You have a problem. Missions begins with compassion. Compassion comes by seeing. And seeing leads to being moved. And being moved gets you to see it the way God sees it. The way Jesus sees it. So let's move on now. He said, that's the compassion of the Savior. He sees people as they are. I want to see people as they are. And I know you do too. Let's wrap this up. Number two, the crisis of the harvest. I'm just going to make a couple of comments on this. The harvest is plenteous. A lot of folks out there are lost, brethren. Multitudes. Multitudes. There's untold millions that are never even heard a gospel presentation. I hope that'll just weigh on us a little bit. We get to hear it every week, and if you chose, you could hear it every day. We have so many outlets, so many avenues, where if you chose, you could hear the gospel every day. And yet there are people that have not one time heard the gospel, the good news. That bothers me. Maybe that's why we are trying to busy ourselves with things to kind of get that out of our mind. It ought to move us. It ought to bother us. The harvest truly is plenteous. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you, church? Come on, raise your hand. You say, yeah. Raise your hand now. I want to see your hand. You say, preacher, I want to testify. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep your hand up if you mean it now. I believe the harvest is plenteous. I believe it is. It's plenteous. You can put your hands down. That was just a check to see if you're still alive. Or tuned in. Don't change that dial. Don't tune me out. God has something to say. The harvest truly. He didn't say the harvest is plenteous. He said truly. The harvest, look at it, verse number 37. The harvest truly is plenteous. A lot out there. You know what happens to the harvest if it's not reaped? You know what happens to a harvest that's not gathered? It dies on the vine. That's why Jesus said in John 4, say not ye they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes, right? Look on the fields. He said they're white already to harvest. They're ready for picking. Can I tell you, with a lot of the events that are going on in these times in which we live, there's a lot of people open to conversation. There's a lot of people. I can't tell you the people that I've talked to in the last, year, probably a little longer, and I'd say, look, can I pray for you? Or what can I pray with you about? And it's amazing how they say, I mean, some of them just get teary-eyed. And they'll give you a reason to pray for them. And it opens up a conversation. We just need to engage people, don't we? The harvest truly is plenteous, all right? It's plenteous. It's plenteous. It's pressing because time is short. Time is short now. This is the crisis. Time is not our ally. The window is closing. The harvest is plenteous. A lot of hurting, lost people. The harvest is pressing. The harvest is perishing. How many souls will die today without Christ? I don't know. I don't know. But I know it'll be a lot. And I know that should bother me. And I know it should bother you if you're saved. So we need to get engaged a little deeper. That's all I'm saying, church. Your pastor does, you do. Not to impress our missionary guests. I'm not doing this for missionary guests. I'm not doing it for you. If I'm half worth my salt, I wouldn't even be doing it for me. I'm doing it for my master. I'm a servant.
and I've got a good master. And my master gave his all for those people that I need to be reaching and that you need to be reaching. And he's worthy that I would be his servant to reach them in his behalf. He has promised me that he would go with me. And he has promised me that I could be his co-laborer together with him. He has called me to enter into this ministry of reaching souls for Jesus. He's called you too. Let's win some people. Let's reach some people. Let's take the truth. We have the truth. Let's take it to people. So the harvest, there's a crisis. I want you to think about this, and then I'll give you my final thought. Somebody, and you can just speak out. If you're not going to say amen, just answer this question. Somebody tell me in John chapter 4 what's going on in John chapter 4. The predominant thing that's going on in John chapter 4 is, thank you, the woman at the well. And Jesus said, I must needs go through, thank you, Samaria. Now, Samaria was a hard place for the Jews. It was a hard place. I just want you to think about this now. And so while they were there, instead of them thinking about, let's reach these hard people, these hard places, kind of sworn enemies of ours, which the world, we heard it today, people will hate you if you love Jesus, if you want to get them the gospel. And so it'd be easy to say, well, you know what, let's just go get some meat. Let's just kind of continue to do for ourselves. That this is the message that I get from John chapter 4, right? Let's just go into town and do some things for ourselves. And Jesus said, well, now you run ahead. I got some other things to take care of. And he begins to minister to the woman. Is that right, church? Now, as he begins to minister to her, we know what happens. We know what happens. I'm not going to go through all that. And then it comes into John 4:35, and Jesus said, now, guys, I brought you right in the midst of a mission field, and all you were concerned about is getting some stuff for yourself. That's why he said, you need to lift up your eyes. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Don't think because it's hard that God doesn't want you to do it. Don't think because they don't like you that God doesn't want you to do it. Do the hard thing. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. Right? Listen, I'll be the first to admit, it's a little uncomfortable sometimes to talk to folks. It is. At first, but most of the time, all that changes. And God will give you boldness, and God will give you power, and God will give you grace, and you can make a difference in someone's life. And so I close with this, the commission to the saints. We saw the compassion of the Savior. We looked at the crisis of the harvest. There's a lot of product still on the vine. Many will not be gathered. God help us. And then we look at the commission. He said, you pray. Look at verse number 38. Pray ye therefore. Then now, preacher, God hasn't called me to go. Well, pray. God may be waiting on you to start praying, then he'll call you. Right? You're not going to do a whole lot of moving without praying. Jesus was a man of prayer. That's why he had compassion, and that's why he was moved and saw the people's need. And so God is telling me here, you want to have compassion? You want to be moved? You want to see the people's need? Then get in your closet and pray. Jesus oftentimes resorted to secluded places, places of solitude, and he prayed. And that's why when he got out and he got to mingling among the people, he constantly touching people's lives. Constantly. It was just his heart to reach and to help people. Why? Because of those places of prayer. And so God is telling me and God is telling you, open your closet back up. Pray. Ye therefore, look at verse 38, the Lord of the harvest. Talk to God. God, what do you want me to do for you? You know, if you're not careful, a lot of your prayer will be, God, what are you going to do for me? And God help me and God help you to begin to pray, God, what do you want me to do for you? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send. And don't just run out there on your own now. Listen to me now. Listen carefully. God sends them. So it don't sound like there's too many people going. Well, that could mean one of two things. We've quit praying, or people's quit obeying. I can't say which it is. Maybe some of both. I just want to find my place. You pray there, therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he was sending forth laborers into his harvest. So what are we going to do on this Missions Emphasis Sunday? Well, I pray that God would just break my heart for souls again. All over again. You can stand to your feet. I want to ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll ask the pianist. She can go ahead and begin to play softly. How many of you remember, and I've been doing this, sometimes, you know, you just kind of go back, and I was talking to Pastor David yesterday, and I said, I've just been thinking a lot about the early days of my ministry. I started pastoring when I was 26, and I was just in over my head. I don't know what to say. I was just in over my head. But I'll tell you one thing I had. I had a passion for souls. I was so glad God saved me. So glad. I wanted everybody to be saved. I wanted everybody to experience this joy, this peace that God gave me. I felt like everybody deserved to encounter what I was encountering, to experience what I was experiencing. Didn't have a lot of knowledge. I didn't. I couldn't have quoted one Bible verse. I didn't know the Romans Road. But I sure could tell people what Jesus done for me. And I mean, God put me in front of people, and I was telling everyone, to the place to where there were people literally avoiding me. So people still do that, Pastor. Well, you know, they were doing it for a different reason. I've told you this story. My own mom, I'd go by almost every day after work, and I'd say, Mom, I love you, and I don't want to see you die in your sin and go to hell. Please. And she would just wonder, what in the world has happened to you? She would ask me, Dale, what's going on? I got saved, Mom. I got saved. Remember one time going by our house, and back then they didn't have blinds, they had shades. And I seen shades dropping. I knocked on the door. Nothing. Nothing. Come on, Mom, I know you're in there. She wouldn't come to the door. Didn't have a cell phone. I went up the road and used a payphone. Called her and she answered. I said, Mom, why didn't you come to the door? She got all emotional. She said, Dale, I'm sorry. She said, I don't know. I don't want to hear that no more. That broke my heart. I didn't quit praying though. I didn't quit going either. It started early with me. I keep coming. God made me that way. How about you? Are you obsessed with somebody getting saved? You have a husband, a mother, a sibling, a friend that you just will not let go of. God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I want to see them get saved. Well, I stand before you as your pastor today to tell you that I've lost some of that. It makes me sick of myself. Sick of myself. I guess I get too concerned about what people think. And I'm not concerned enough about what he thinks. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. God's been too good to me to be more concerned about what you think and what he thinks. And I pray God would not allow me to live that way. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. God knows my heart. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. I'm not trying to get a person to act on emotion, some emotional whim. But I am saying this. There's a lot of lost people out there, brethren. And whether you want to think about it or not, I'm going to give you something to think about. When people die without Jesus, your neighbor, your friend, your family member, they will die without Jesus and go to hell. And there is no exit gate in hell. And so I'm just trying to help you to help someone. Okay? Please. Please. As a believer, I'm just going to ask you to bow where you are. If you mean business with God and you want God to help you be a better witness, bow right where you are. Sit down in your seat. Do something. Come to the altar. God, help me. God, don't let me continue just to go through life and accumulate things and be comfortable and be satisfied with where I'm at. God, help me to make a sacrifice. Help me to pray more. Help me to love more. Help me to give more. Help me to do more for missions, for souls. God, help me. Would you do that?